All right, we're back talking a little Baylor, Big 12 college football, alongside John Werner, this Bryce Cherry. Tony Adame is out of town this week, so we're just kind of flying old school today this week, John. Just you and me. The band is back together. but let's talk a little football. Yes, it was Northwestern State. Yes, Baylor should clobber any FCS opponent it plays. But the Bears looked about as sharp as I can remember in a long time in that 55-7 opening win. Were you surprised at all with just how crisp they played?
Yeah, I really was. I remember last year's game against SMU. I mean, it was really pretty sloppy.
Yeah.
Even though they won 56-21. But this year, they just looked like they were just really eager to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it was all the off-season turmoil. You know, they just wanted to play a game. And, gosh, you know, the offense looked great. The defense made 15 tackles behind the line, which is unbelievable. And I thought their special teams looked about as good as I've ever seen, which isn't surprising because Coach Grove has emphasized that since the start of camp.
Yeah, we've both written stories about special teams, and that certainly is something that they've emphasized. I thought penalty-wise,
yeah,
they cleaned up some things. Obviously, Kyle Fuller had a couple of penalties there. But, you know, and again, we take into account the level of competition they're playing. But, I mean, they were just really, really crisp in all phases of the game. And, you know, I thought a lot of the new guys got a chance to get in early, you know, have some fun, score some touchdowns. Another unique thing about that game was seeing two tight ends catch touchdown passes.
Yeah, I even asked Seth Russell the other day, you know, well, is this going to become a trend to go to the tight end? He said, well, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, obviously it depends on the formation,
yeah,
and all of that. But yeah, I mean, and both those guys, Tecklenburg and Fuhrbacher, you know, they look good. I mean, they're, you know, good-sized guys, good hands. Again, you know, we'll see how much Baylor utilizes those guys, but it just putting it out there puts it on film for the defenses to have to be aware of.
Yeah, I mean, 48-0 at halftime. You know, it probably could have been 96-0.
Yeah, it could have been.
They kept their starters
right
in.
Certainly.
But yeah, it was very impressive.
The one touchdown Northwestern State did score was, you know, on the backups. I did ask Taylor Young after the game, you know, he wasn't out there, but, you know, were you upset that the shutout, you know, got nullified there? And yeah, I mean, yeah, he's upset. Those defensive guys like a goose egg. Those are hard to get. But
yes, definitely.
But all in all, just a really strong opening game and opening statement by the Bears. It's a slight uptick in competition this week with SMU coming to town. Mustangs are in their second season under Chad Morris, and they're coming off a 34-21 win over North Texas in their opener last week. Last year in this game, as you mentioned, it was 56-21 final, but they were in that game for a half at least, mm-hmm, up in Dallas. It was 28-21 Baylor at the half. So, you know, kind of keeping that in mind, keeping the fact that Chad Morris is now, you know, a year into this thing. Should the Bears be on upset alert?
No.
No.
I don't think so at all. I mean, Baylor's a 32-point favorite, and I think they'll cover that spread.
Mm.
I just think, you know, like we saw last week, Baylor is really anxious to play football. And I think we're going to see that again this week. And I think we're going to see the starting offense in there longer, and defense. So, no, I think they're going to have another great performance. SMU, we don't know whether Matt Davis is going to start or not at quarterback. He's got a knee injury. Chad Morris said it'd be a game-time decision. If not, you know, we'll see Ben Hicks from Midway in there. So he's also a good quarterback. But I just think Baylor's got way too much talent.
I don't disagree with you. I will say this. Should the Bears be on upset alert? I think they should always be on upset alert. I mean, that was one thing under Art Briles that Baylor did well, was They didn't look past anybody. Usually, I mean, for most opponents, they you know, just focused on that game, that opponent. They did a pretty good job of not looking ahead to the next week, you know, if they had a big game. And, you know, hopefully for Baylor's sake that trend will continue under Jim Groh, because, I mean, you can't ever take anybody lightly. Now, like you said, looking at the way Baylor played last week and thinking about if, you know, the starters are in there longer, it certainly favors Baylor. But I do think Chad Morris is building something, you know, a little special there at SMU. It's going to take time, but they've got some talented guys, and I'm a big fan of that receiver, Courtland Sutton.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, not just because he's from Brenham, Texas.
That had to be part of it.
Part of it, maybe. But he caught two touchdown passes last year against Baylor,
yeah,
including a pretty long one. He had two touchdowns last week against North Texas, including a long one from Ben Hicks. So he's a guy Baylor's certainly going to have to, you know, key on. And and like you said, the quarterback questions for SMU, I think, does, you know, put the Mustangs a little bit behind the eight ball. The title of highest-ranked team in the Big 12 now belongs to the Texas Longhorns. Just let that sink in for a second. Texas jumped up to number 11 in the AP Top 25 after not being ranked last week. After its thrilling double overtime win over Notre Dame, just an incredible opening game for sure. It's the first time under Charlie Strong that Texas has been ranked. And clearly, it was a big win for Texas, and they should be ranked. But is number 11 a bit of an overreaction?
I think number 11 says that you've got two traditionally historic programs,
mm-hmm,
and one beat the other. Everybody was watching, and that's why they moved up from unranked to number 11.
Yeah, and I mean, Wisconsin also unranked. To be fair to the voters, I guess, they were also unranked last week, and they're number 10 this week after beating LSU at Lambeau Field. But
that being said, I was going to say that was a great win for Texas. That's one of the best games I've seen in a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely a great win for Texas. But to me, this does, as you said, it goes right to who these schools are. It's Texas, it's Notre Dame. And Notre Dame always, to me, seems to feel a little overrated in the polls, mm-hmm, just because they're Notre Dame. And I think, you know, so Texas finally had a big win. They're 1-0. They don't have a loss. So it's like the voters just, I don't know. To me, it feels like an overreaction. I think they belong in the top 25, but to go from unranked to 11 seems like a stretch. Are they the best team in the Big 12? I mean, we'll see. But I mean, let's talk about them for a second, though. They've improved by miles on offense. I mean, Shane Buechele, he's got something.
He does. And Sterling Gilbert had a great game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Their new offensive coordinator, who obviously is a, you know,
Art Briles clone.
Art Briles clone. Yeah, he worked under Philip Montgomery at Tulsa. So he had a great game plan, you know, using Buechele mostly to pass, and Swoops did a tremendous job running, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. In fact, Swoops was co-offensive player of the week in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Not even really playing that much. But, we'll see how much they utilize that game plan going forward. I mean, I think teams would start to figure it out a little. I mean, they basically, when Swoops was coming to the game, he was running it every time. I mean, there was no real mystery there, but Notre Dame couldn't stop it either. I mean, Swoops has got a knack for powering ahead and using his, you know, kind of bigger frame to pick up yards.
I think they called it the 18-wheeler package.
Yeah.
I thought that was fitting.
Yeah, that was pretty good. On the flip side of the teams climbing in polls, you know, Oklahoma took a tumble after a 10-point loss to Houston in its opener. We were all high, you, me, Tony, on the Sooners last week, and it certainly wasn't their strongest performance. given that they've still got Ohio State looming in a couple of weeks, are they in danger of falling out of this college football playoff hunt before the Big 12 season even starts?
Yeah, if they lose to Ohio State, I think they're out of it.
Yeah.
Two losses, you know, that might, maybe in the SEC you might have a chance with two losses, but not in the Big 12. I mean, you lose more than one game, you're out of it, I think. But, you know, if they do beat Ohio State, they're right back in it.
Right.
I mean, that would be just a huge win. And, you know, they might have to go unbeaten in the Big 12 to get in, and which, you know, that's going to be hard, I think. But, yeah, that, if they beat Ohio State, they're right back in it.
What was kind of surprising about that game against Houston was Oklahoma just did not look prepared. You know, I thought Houston was better coached in that game, just sharper, crisper, and Oklahoma just, you know, struggled to kind of put any consistency together on offense. Defense had some problems. You know, obviously Houston's got a great team, great quarterback. Tom Herman's got something going there, and you know, God bless the Cougars. They could go unbeaten now and get into that college football playoff. They may bump the Big 12 out. But, you know, Oklahoma, like you said, they can get right back in it with a win against Ohio State, but that's a big if. They're going to have to play a lot better.
Yeah, I thought the play that kind of summed up that whole game was Houston's 109-yard return on the missed kick.
Mm.
It just looked like Oklahoma didn't even know he was back there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he started running, and it's like people are just kind of, well, what's this guy doing? You know, and all right. Of a sudden, he's, you know, he's downfield for a touchdown.
Right, right.
And that was pretty much the game-turning play.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Well, if, kind of looking at a little trivia now. So from the relatively interesting trivia department here at One True Podcast, we uncovered this nugget. So three Big 12 quarterbacks who started and won their season openers are the sons of former Texas Rangers baseball players. Kenny Hill of TCU, son of Ken Hill. Shane Buechele of Texas, son of Steve Buechele, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Mahomes of Texas Tech, Pat Mahomes.
Right.
So two questions for you, John. You know, we're going a little different sport here.
Yes.
But I did show you the curveball ahead of time.
Thank you.
No pun intended. Should Baylor start senior volleyball player Alex Bannister at quarterback, considering she's the daughter of Jeff Bannister?
Well, you know, I don't know how Seth Russell would feel about that. But I think, you know, as a scholarship player at Baylor, she could be the third-string quarterback.
Well, there you go.
Since they don't have a third-string scholarship quarterback,
yeah,
why not give her a shot?
You know, I don't know how Lynx would feel about it, but
he'd probably be okay with it.
Okay, yeah. You know, or Benema, I guess. Benema actually got in the game the other day. You know, that's pretty cool, though, for Rangers fans, I guess, that Alex Bannister is at Baylor, the daughter of the manager there. Mm-hmm. We did a story on her last year, and it's just kind of weird how many of these baseball players' sons are playing quarterback in the Big 12. I mean,
well, it just shows all the great athletes the Texas Rangers have had.
Oh, you know,
I bet their offsprings would be great athletes.
Gosh, we need
too.
To move on now. My other baseball related question here was best baseball football combo guy you've ever seen.
That one's pretty darn easy.
Yeah, I know.
Bo knows football.
Bo knows baseball.
Bo knows pretty much every sport, I think.
Yeah, Bo Jackson was on another level.
Yes.
He was on another level as a Tecmo Bowl video game player, too. If you had him in Tecmo Bowl, you were going to win. But, yeah, he was a freak in both sports. I mean, played in the All-Star game, was in the Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, just incredible combination of speed and strength.
Yeah, now, you know, if Babe Ruth had played football, he probably would have been a pretty good offensive lineman, too.
Yeah, you know, he's got the girth for sure.
Right.
Just bringing it to a Baylor perspective here, didn't Mickey Sullivan play both sports at Baylor?
Yes, he did, and he was good at both. Yeah. Obviously, a great baseball player, All-American. But, yeah, he was a halfback. I believe he was on their Orange Bowl team in the early 50s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was a good player.
In fact, he's up for, you probably don't know this, John, but he's up for the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame, Mickey Sullivan.
Put him in.
Yeah. We're all about relatively interesting trivia here at One True Podcast.